Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. This is Carl, and today is the 18th of April, and we are on Bible Study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio, and we're going to continue today in Romans chapter 8. As a matter of fact, as soon as Raven calls in, we will begin a short prayer asking for the Holy Spirit to guide every word that we say. And I got to tell you, that is something that is becoming more and more clear to me in the last, I'm going to say, maybe 3 to 4 weeks. I've always prayed before any of the studies that I do. I have realized very recently that my statement where I used to ask for help, and I'm being honest here, this is nothing, no false humility, no, because I got nothing to gain by it. I have no church, I have no people, I have nothing. But it has shown me recently, the Holy Spirit has, where it is, and it wasn't intentional, it was just showing my lack of understanding of the truth of Pentecost, that when I was saying, help me, in a polite way, the Holy Spirit, and this is just in the last month, has made it me aware of the fact that that is the greatest understatement I could ever make in my lifetime. In other words, I need you to help me with this. I'm a great hitter. I can hit a baseball. I can hit a screwball, a curve, a slider. I can hit it. But I need someone to help me a little bit. I've got most of it. Folks, I am beginning to see more and more, and I mean this sincerely, need to not even consider my abilities on anything I do and ask him daily to just live through me with his power. The more that he can use his power and the less I depend on my own, the more edifying everything I do is going to be for everybody, including myself. And that's the only purpose of being on this hour and a half every Sunday, is to edify people through the scripture. So when Raven comes on, we will do that, and then we will start Romans 8:37. And we will continue into Romans. We'll continue after 8. We'll go into chapter 9 and chapter 10. And then I'm going to go into 12 along with verses in Ephesians. I mean, we got a lot of ground to cover, but it's all, and this is where I see something that's really happening that I'm not going to, it wasn't any great brain trust of my own. Hello, Raven.
Hello there, Carl. There?
Okay.
I'm here.
The Holy Spirit has taken us, folks, to where we're going through. We went through Romans 5, then 6, then 7. Now we're going to finish 8 and get into 9, 10, and then 12, and from 12 into Ephesians, and into Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 is just so much. It's like that Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, Ephesians just explodes it into the everyday situations. But Raven's going to pray now, and like her and I have talked, it's not the cliche Carl used to use, help me with this. I am telling you, I want him totally to work in all of us, including anybody listening. In fact, for those people I've got to give the call-in number again, 319-527-6208. That will get you so you can hear the program. If you want to join, you hit 1, and I will take your call, and hopefully, and I will take your call, and you will can partake. You can ask questions, but please confine the questions to only the scripture we're covering. Okay, Raven, go ahead and pray again, not for guidance, to run to everything we do, including every member of the audience. Have the Holy Spirit be working totally in us.
Amen. Father, we just praise you for allowing us to work in your ministry, Lord. It is an honor and a blessing to be able to work for you and to give out your word, your scripture to those who would listen. Father, we give ourselves over to you so that you can work in us and through us, because without your Holy Spirit working in us, we are absolutely nothing. And
Amen.
We just pray that your Holy Spirit would also work in those who would listen, that you would open all eyes, all ears to your word, so that they would also receive a blessing from you through our Lord Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, I love the first phrases you used there, that we're working in his ministry. And that's exactly it, folks. That is the whole point of Pentecost. The things that are highlighted in every sermon or statement I've ever heard about Pentecost are results of the Holy Spirit's power working in us. I've never heard a sermon given on Pentecost, and I'm not saying there hasn't been, that hasn't talked about the power of God literally in us. It has always been about the symptoms that express themselves, and those symptoms aren't wrong. Those were the spiritual gifts that were given. But I'm telling you, Raven and I were before the program just talking that when we actually think that we have the mind of God and the power of God, now not the power of God that Carl can go out and I can call things into existence. No, that's unbiblical. By the power of God, it is through the Holy Spirit's working in this program, folks, not only in us, but in you who are listening, because this is our Bible study. This is not Carl's. To say this is Carl's Bible study would say that, you know, when I go to a baseball field and play catch or something, it's my field. No, God made everything. But this, we are actually partaking in God's ministry here, all of us. This is our Bible study. I want you to take this focus, because this is only about the last 4 weeks this has hit me. This is the Holy Spirit, the power that we have, and not to do silly things or to focus on, well, I can call this into existence, or I can speak one word and this happened. No, I'm not saying those things are all wrong. I am saying let's focus on the power that the moment you're truly born again by repenting and believing the gospel. And Raven has been down this road a little earlier than I was, but I'm telling you, when you realize it, Raven, I've even noticed, you knew how uptight I was before the program began, because number one, I'm willingly an ignoramus when it comes to any of this equipment. I have no interest in anything other than dialing a phone number and answering a phone call. But I was also on edge because of what I was going to say. I no longer feel that pressure. I'm getting to where I can't wait to get to it. It is different, folks. Let's ask the Holy Spirit always to keep focusing all of us, including those who are loyal to listening to this program. This is our study. It is not Carl's. Carl did not
know
the Bible.
Yeah. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:11, perfect for this. But one and the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Talking about, you know, the gifts, the spiritual gifts.
Oh, absolutely.
But this is exactly what it's talking about. Each one of our gifts in ministry is done by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that works in us and through us, and we need to remember that, you know. It's not
our
will.
Raven, are you telling me then that if you come to me, who is the resident expert, spiritual gifts, and I tell you that you're a teacher or you're a greeter or you're one who you're going to now start teaching people to speak in tongues, are you telling me that that is unbiblical? Yeah, you are.
I'm saying yes. 100% unbiblical,
totally.
That's right.
Is it unbiblical to speak in tongues or pray in tongues and interpret? No, it isn't. That's in the Bible. But what Raven is saying is illustrating the point we're making. Everything the Holy Spirit gives as he wills, and that is where he will empower you. If Carl thinks he is now the resident expert on anything, he is nothing. He in his best day can only read the scripture and let the Holy Spirit work. I'm seeing this in a new light, Raven. I have known this stuff for years. You know that. But I'm seeing how it applies to my everyday life. It's not remarkable. It's miraculous.
Yeah. And he opens up that understanding to us, just as we were talking about right before the show. He opens up that understanding to us more and more daily.
But only he can do it.
Yeah,
I can give people the intellectual words of the verse. I can repeat the verse, but I don't have the power to change a person's life like the Holy Spirit does.
And we repeat this verse week after week. I know I do in my teaching as well on Wednesdays. But it's James 1:5. It's James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Yeah.
Raven, before you came on the program, I told anybody listening at that time that I have only been in the last 4 weeks where I've talked to you and said, you know, I used to ask God to help me with something, and that is ludicrous. Ask God to help me? He's got to do it all. I can't even – This is just something that is opening up to me, and this is not where we're going today. Well, everything we're going today is the power of the Holy Spirit, but
you're
a little further ahead. I think hit you, and this truth hit you in a deeper way than it's hit me until maybe a month ago.
We can't do anything on our own, just absolutely nothing.
Read go to John 15:5, and then we'll go to Romans 8:37. But read John 15:5.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing.
I was raised in New York City, and you know, in New York City, in the housing projects, you don't have many. You're not really in charge of many gardens or many forests, but I knew if I cut a branch off of the tree and separate it from the vine, and he says, "I am the vine, you are the branch." What does the branch do? It dies.
Yeah. Right.
It bears, not only doesn't bear any fruit, it dies. That is a perfect symbolism or a metaphor, whatever you want to say. But Raven says we can't do it on our own. Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. But he also says, read Philippians 4:13. This is remarkable, folks. Yeah. And the real significance of I can do nothing did not set into me until recently when I realized what Philippians 4:13 says.
Wait, Philippians 4? Oh yeah, I'm here.
13.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes.
Until I saw that, I did not understand the true significance of John 15:5. And I'm telling you, this has been in the last, I'm going to guess, month. Now, why can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Read 19.
And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
There are people who preach and teach this, but let's keep it where the Bible's talking about. This doesn't mean that I'm going to do things that anything I attempt, I can do all things. And I've heard that in churches. That's where I was hung up. No. What did Raven read in 1 Corinthians? What did you read in 1 Corinthians 12? The Holy Spirit gives gifts as he wills for what he wants to accomplish. You're only going to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you in what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, not in your, in my half pea brain ideas. Go ahead.
What about Philippians 3, 7 and
go
8?
Go ahead. Yeah, read it.
What things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. All things, everything,
rubbish.
Everything that is me is worthless. Everything that is that I have is absolutely worthless. And Christ is everything. Christ is everything, and everything about myself, everything about self is worth nothing.
Raven, I've known that. I understood it for 15 years, but it didn't really hit me the significance applying it to my everyday life until maybe 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know,
I don't
know why
I can't explain it. No, I'm just saying.
I think it's because we get it in our head. It's like head knowledge, but the Holy Spirit has to make it heart and spirit knowledge, if that makes sense.
I understand you. Oh, doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense to me, I'm beyond stupid because I've experienced it within the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You can even go on my YouTube Bible studies that I've done in the last year. And I do 3 a week. And you can see where I've actually taught on this topic or taught. I've led a study on it. But the real significance has hit me in a way that I never saw. As you always say, the light bulb went on. I never saw it in the way I am now. I would repeat a prayer like we do when we go to eat. Oh, great and wonderful God who's there in heaven and give it. No, it hit me really of just how insignificant I am unless his power is working through me.
And that's that Holy Spirit.
And I can't do all things. I can only do all things according to, read Ephesians 1:10. I wanted to find all things in two verses. Read Ephesians 2:10 first. Or this is to believers. An unbeliever, this doesn't apply to.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Which God
now
prepared.
I want to ask Raven a question. Raven is a history, knows history. When did God prepare these things? Raven, read 2 Timothy 1:9.
Yes, in the beginning of the earth. Yes. 2 Timothy 1:9.
These are the works the Holy Spirit will empower you for.
who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before
now,
time began.
I want you to read 1 Corinthians 12:11 again and apply it to this verse.
1 Corinthians 12:11.
The one you gave us earlier. And I want you to apply it to this particular verse now that you just read.
Yes.
2 Timothy 1:9. I want to read, in fact, I'm going to turn here to Philippians, or 2 Timothy 1:9. And
yep.
You're going to go ahead and read that. And then I am going to go back to the verse you just gave me, which was 1 Corinthians 12:11.
But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And then 2 Timothy 1:9.
Yeah.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I could just read
now,
those two verses right together.
Well, hold on. I'm going to give you another one. Go to Philippians again, 4:13. This is where I'm saying, folks, we can't go off half-cocked on this and say, I can do all things through Christ. You can do all things for Christ. Number one, that we're purchased in Jesus Christ in Ephesians 2:10. Number two, that the Holy Spirit is given you in 1 Corinthians 12:11 and in 2 Timothy 1:9. You can only do the works. Read Philippians 4:13. This only applies to what he has taught us.
Yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know,
but that only applies to what he has given.
I was going to say, something I always mention about that verse, Carl, is if we look back in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to be I know how to be full, and I know how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I don't know how to just, it's not just about me doing all things because this verse is used often to say, oh, I know how to be rich and how to have all kinds of things. No. This verse is talking about how I can be strong in Christ even when I am weak, when I have nothing, even when I am down to my last penny. I can even do that through Christ who gives me strength. This isn't just about saying, oh, look how much money I have. Look how I have all these things. No. This is saying Christ is the one who strengthens me even when I am poor, even when I am in jail, even when I am sick. Christ is the one that gives me the strength. And it's unfortunate that verse is used even to say, oh, look at all the things. He's the one that lifts me up even when I'm in great things. Well, it's easy to do all things when you are, you know, when you're rich and when you have all kinds, when you have a great job. That's easy. No, he's saying in verse 12, even when I am poor and hungry and imprisoned, and all that, that's when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me even when I am in bad places. And that is what's so great and wonderful about that verse.
But those are only things that apply to 1 Corinthians 12:11 that the Spirit has chosen, and he chose them in 2 Timothy 1:9 before time began.
Absolutely.
This is just amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I'm telling you, even though intellectually you're rightly, I've understood this. I've understood it. I've spoken on it, and I believe what I've spoken on it has been legitimate. But it didn't hit me until recently.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. I've spent a lot of time on this, but our little conversation 5 minutes before this thing started is what led me to this.
You know, it's so
this
funny you say that, because I was thinking the exact same thing.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. What?
No, I was just saying, I was thinking the exact same thing right before we got on, that how important that was, that conversation that we had. Yes, I agree.
Important? Raven, up until 4 weeks ago, I would have nodded my head and said, yes, so it was important. Oh, I'm not going to disagree with something that a co-host
says. In fact, it's everything.
I did not realize just what you just said. I did not realize that what you're saying is everything. I have nothing to offer. If I go away from that branch that he made for me in 1 Corinthians 12:11, I have nothing to offer to these people. Nothing. On my best day, I'm a waste of human flesh.
Yeah, right. That conversation that we were having is everything. It's everything.
It is. And yet, Raven, I would have agreed with you, and I'm getting redundant now. I would have agreed with you. But did I really, really? The Holy Spirit in the last 4 weeks has shown me, Carl, this is not just a cliche. This is not something you say when you get into a church or when you get into a Bible study to sound like you're part of the group. You better realize, Carl, the significance of the power that you've got. That would be like me holding every nuclear bomb in the world ever made. Every nuclear bomb and every nuclear bit of technology that has ever been, and holding it in my hand and just saying, oh, I've got power to do all I can. I mean, I don't think, Raven, that I even yet see exactly the power, but it's only the power to do what he wants me to do.
That's
where I take issue with these people who demand that you are told what spiritual gifts you have. You're told how to use your gifts. If the Holy Spirit can't do this to them, I am wasting your time on the radio today.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I create any more, what did Dale Carnegie... In 1966, I took a course of Dale Carnegie, and it was one of the book I had to read was How to Win Friends and Influence People. Well, I'm going to win friends, and I'm going to lose friends and influence enemies. Let me get off of this topic. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verse we're on 8. We're going to read verse 37.
All right. Yes, in all these things. Oh, here we go. Isn't this perfect? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Next to that verse, I have Philippians 4:13-19. We can do all things through him. Do you see, Raven, that 37, and I didn't realize it until you read it, that synopsizes everything we're talking about.
It absolutely does.
Can do
definitely
nothing.
Does.
And I know we would say that. I said it because it was. I knew it was intellectual truth. But what would I do? God, in my silent prayer, God, I need your help with this. I can handle most of it, but if I fall a little, you got to boost me up. How arrogant, but it wasn't intentional arrogance. It's just giving him only a – I was not recognizing the true significance of Pentecost and that his power. If it's not his power working in me, I am only giving you an intellectual academic course, which means nothing.
Yeah. Right.
The Holy Spirit has got to do it. All right, go ahead to verse 38.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities,
nor powers present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
He is right. This is why I maybe sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present or things to come, height, depth, any other creature will not separate me from God's love, which is in Christ our Lord. But Rome, read Hebrews 3:12. I can walk away. This is what the modern preaching is not willing to accept. They will not read Hebrews 3:12 with these verses.
Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know something?
Why will people not read that verse?
Well,
I agree.
They think that it contradicts 8:39, but you know something I just noticed, Carl?
Raymond, 8:38 or 39 says other people.
Says to separate us from the love of God. It doesn't say separate us from his grace, from his salvation.
But Raven, again, between you and I, having mm-hmm. attended churches together, you know that these verses are used to prove that once you get dunked or once you say the sinner's prayer, you're good to go no matter what you do. You know that's the preaching in most places.
Right.
Okay, now agreeing with that, I am saying these are the two verses that they use, but that would negate every one of the epistles that tell us that we can walk away. We can leave. Read Colossians 1:23. These verses are not given with 8:38 and 39 to give the truth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but it does not mean that we can't walk away, or verses 38 and 39 contradict Hebrews 3:12 and Colossians 1:23. And if we have a Bible verse that contradicts any other verse in the Bible, I'm wasting your time even talking about the Bible. That is absurd.
Okay.
No Bible verse can contradict another one.
All right. Hold on a minute. I got my finger in about five different places.
I'm taking my earplugs out for a second.
Okay. Colossians 3:16, I think you said. Nope, that's not it. Colossians 3. All right.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, I'm sorry. You said Colossians what again?
1:23. You will never hear Hebrews 3:12 and Colossians 1:23 as well as all the epistles. Hold on. You will not hear them giving the balance to Romans 8:38 and 39. Romans 8:38 and 39 are always specifically meant that once you've joined the club, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing, anything, any angel, any principality, power, but it does not mean that you can't walk away through unbelief. You read Hebrews 3:12. Beware, and this is to brethren, believers, beware any of you depart from the living God. You can't depart from the living God if you are not a believer. Now read 1:23, and these are only two out of all the epistles.
Well, let me read this, and then I've got another one that the Holy Spirit just
hold on, Raymond.
Wow.
As we say on Saturday, every epistle is warning about this. Every epistle.
Well, this is actually in the gospel, but hold on.
Go ahead, read it.
Yep, wait a minute. But if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, interesting. This says if you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel, right?
Which means
now,
it can happen. Which means it can happen,
now, look
right?
Here, Carl. Now, look here, Carl. How interesting is this? Now, in that Romans 8:39, it says to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? Now, look at John 3:16. What is the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Exactly.
That is his love. That's his love. Okay? So none of these things can separate us from that love. But the love is that whoever believes in him. So the thing is, Colossians says we must believe, right? John 3:16 says we must believe. So the love is that we must believe. So if we walk away from that belief, as Colossians says, that's on us. You see what I'm trying to say here?
But Raven, you will admit that for years we've always heard these verses to say that you know, put it on cruise control.
Right. Yes.
Okay, read 17. Here, go back to John. Read 17 and 18, which explains what you're saying.
Yeah.
Read one at a time. One at a time.
Nothing can separate us from that love, but it's on us to actually believe it. So let's go into 17
Amen.
And 18.
Amen. Amen, right. Raven. But you and I both know, I say for the third time in 8 minutes, that this is not explained with these verses, and people walk away. Maybe that's what we want them to do. They walk away thinking they can do anything. I even had a man that I knew quite well. He's no longer working, neither am I, but he actually justified cheating on his wife with these two verses. But you go ahead and read 17 and 18. Now, we're focusing on Raven's statement about the love of God of those who believe. Read 17 and 18.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes
is under condemnation. Nobody under the original sin judgment is condemned. There's only one thing that will condemn you. Read the next verse.
He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Do you see that just
God
explains what you said? Yep.
Yes. In verse 16, the love of God is that he sent his Son. But we must then believe.
And
it's
if
on
we
us
don't
to believe.
Believe, here, if we don't believe, we're condemned.
That's right.
We're condemned in
That's
this
right.
life right now. And yet you have this cliche, oh, God loves the sinner and hates the sin. No, God does not love the person who actually has heard the gospel, understands it, and rejects it, and doesn't believe in it. That's what the Bible says, not Carl. I would rather on cruise control. I want to live the next few years. I love to put my feet up, turn on FM radio, open the windows, open the sky roof, have the lemonade. You know, I would love to do that, but this is what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is saying, Carl, you're getting complacent. You're letting people, by one or two verse theology, snooker you.
Right.
You can't say 38 and 39 are wrong. You can't say what John 3:16 through 18 is saying is wrong. Well, it says here that nothing can separate. No, nothing can separate you, and you're not condemned if you believe. But if you rejected the gospel, it says you're not going to be condemned later. You're condemned right now. Read 18 again, please.
Okay. Whoops, hold on. I'm a page off.
That's all right. We're not, we got 49 minutes.
He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to play the devil here, which is a lot of preaching and teaching. That's impossible. Verse 38 and 39 of Romans 8 say it can't happen. Oh, really? So you're saying then that that contradicts Hebrews 3:12. Read Hebrews 3:12 again. And what's
all right.
The sin here? It's what's the sin, Raven, in Hebrews 3:12?
One moment.
No problem. No problem. I'll stay all day to make this point because this is something
absolutely.
I've seen.
Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Departing.
How can anybody use Romans 8, 38 and 39 to contradict that verse?
Well, let's look
okay.
at it like this, Connell. Let's look yep. at it like this. Here's the difference. Here is the difference between Hebrews 3:12 and, hold on, let me find it. Where's the, I've misplaced it. The one that says you can't, that nobody can separate you. Colossians
8:38 and 39. Romans 8.
Romans 8, that's what it is. Yes, thank you. Okay. So the difference between Romans 8:38 and 39 and Hebrews 3:12. It's like this. Here you are. You're sitting right in front of God. You know, you're in this perfect place. Romans 8:38 and 39 says Satan cannot come along, pick you
Amen.
Up manually, and carry you off. But.
No, you're right. That's exactly the point. But this is
right,
not.
But Hebrews.
Even, you
but,
know it. You've
right,
heard it.
But Hebrews 3:12 says. You can be looking at God and say, you know what? I'm done with you. I don't believe you anymore. And I'm just going to turn around and walk away. That is the difference between those two.
You're right. But Raven, you won't hear that preaching generally. I'm not saying here, I'm not going to be arrogant like someone down south when I heard in February of 2016 in his own words, his own mouth. If you're not listening to this ministry, you're probably not hearing truth. I'm not saying nobody preaches it, but Raven, we met in churches where this is constantly preached.
Oh, yes.
And we're letting these
Absolutely.
Poor people believe that they, even this one man, that he can cheat on his wife because there was no way he could lose it. You can't lose it. That's Satan taking it from you. You can walk away.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Now let's make, again, one more repetitive verse to lend validity to what Raven's saying in Hebrews 3:12, because the Bible says, let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Read Colossians 1:23 and try to put
right.
a spin on that. Okay, in the news media, the current word that I've heard for the last 7-10 years, spin. Put a spin on this so it doesn't mean what Raven's saying. And I challenge people who, 1:23, you've read it twice. I want it again. It accentuates the meaning of Hebrews 3:12.
Yep. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister.
And Raven, I'll be honest with you, at what, for 10, 12 years, I was convinced nothing I could do. I'm telling you, don't let people bamboozle you. That's why I'm saying Raven and I have nothing to offer you other than Bible verses. You've got to let the Holy Spirit give you the true meaning. But you're just going to listen to if you're just going to listen to what comes out of my mouth, I may mislead you someday, not intentionally. When I believe that there's nothing, I could do anything and God would no matter where I went. That is unbiblical.
Yep.
I thought I was right because I wasn't taking the time to put my body in a chair, turn off the iPad, turn off the smartphone, turn off the smart TV, turn off telephones, and sit and spend time with the Holy Spirit. I'm being honest.
Turn off false
people
preachers.
People come against me and say, you're always critical. I have that. They come against me in a loving way, saying, Carl, you're always beating yourself up. No, they don't realize how much of these problems I've fallen victim to. And if I can, by my exasperated voice, if I can move one person from committing that error, I want to do that desperately. It's the only reason I come on this thing for 90 minutes a week. I have no other motive. Again, I sit in a dark room. Nobody's ever here with me, ever. No church. My wife doesn't even listen to the program. And I'm not saying
that
derogatory.
I not just 100% agree with you. I 1,000% agree with you. Here's why I know. I know that 100% that it's the Holy Spirit that has to tell you, because I had... Before I heard, and you know, at least within, you know, a few weeks' time or whatever, that I did not believe that you could walk away from your salvation. I didn't believe it at all. I had been told time and time and time and time again that that was an impossibility. And...
Amen. I'm right
and
there
so,
with you. I'm right in the, I'm
yep,
right in the
well,
seat
I was,
you.
Yep. Well, I was at a church, and Carl knows where I'm talking about, and I heard that one day. I heard that preaching, and my flesh just roared up inside of me and said, oh, you got to get out of here. And I almost got up that day and walked up out of that church, and the Holy Spirit said to me, do not get up and leave here. Do not get up and leave here. I want you to hear this. And so I wrote down the verses. I wrote down the verses, and I listened, but I was determined not to come back the next week. That was my flesh. I was determined in my flesh not to come back. So I went home, and just like it says in Acts 17:11, like the Bereans, I went home and
Raven, that's the perfect thing that I want these people who are kind enough to listen to us yell and scream for 90 minutes. I want them to take every verse we write or say, and I want them to do what you're going to say. Now, go ahead.
Yep. So just like Acts 17:11, it says, they went home and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So that's what I did. I went home and I took the scripture that pastor had preached, and I searched the scripture to see if there were more verses that backed up what he had said. And so I found, you know, more just like he's given you. And I found, and since then I found even more, Galatians 5:1-4 and this kind of thing. And I found more that say, wow, this is correct. And then I prayed about it, of course. I went to the Holy Spirit and I said, Lord, show me this truth. And I realized that this was right. I realized that this was 100% correct. And the Holy Spirit has made me realize since then that, look, you need to depend on me, not your flesh, not the pastors. Although he showed me the truth, it wasn't him that I needed to depend on. It was scripture. It was the Holy Spirit. Yes. Listening to pastors, listening to other people is a good way to hear truth if they are preaching from the Bible. If they're preaching from the Bible.
But when they're preaching, hold on, Raven, the point we're making today, don't just preach the verses that substantiate something without searching the scripture to see what the scripture has.
Absolutely.
These people who are telling you that once you're on cruise control, nobody, you're safe no matter what. I can cheat on my wife and God overlooks it. They believe they're right.
Yeah, right. You must go back and compare it against other verses of Scripture and look to see exactly what those verses mean and really search the Scripture for yourself. And it's so very, very important. So
now we're going to get into something, Raven. We're going to get into another very, very heretical statements about religion and true Christianity, biblical Christianity, which is more than just reciting a prayer that I'm only thinking. I wonder what the people in the audience think of me. And we're going to get into Romans chapter 9. And I want you, I'm going to give supporting verses to make all these statements. I'm going to give you supporting verses. But I don't want you just to listen to my rattle trap. I want you to copy these down and you let the Holy Spirit confirm this to you. Please don't just accept what we say. Well, they've got a lot of verses. They've done their homework. I don't care if we've done our homework. I can't do for you what the Holy Spirit can do for you. I can't.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. We're going to go ahead then. Just bear with me. I'm getting myself conglomerated here. I think I am. We're going to go and we're going to now turn and read Romans chapter 9. And we're going to get into some other territory, folks. And again, like they do in car racing. And I know because my son raced. Before the push truck comes up and pushes you off, for those cars like the open wheel cars that don't have starters, the last thing I did when he went out there is I took a bar and I went between his belts and I yanked one more time. Yank one more time on your belts because the ride is going to get bumpy. All right, let's go. Two. Hebrews chapter 9, and just bear with me here. I'm fumbling a lot of things around here. Find that I'm running out of fingers and toes. All right. Let's read the first five verses in Romans 9, 1 through 5, but we're going to come back and analyze every one because a Christian heresy is based on what this doesn't say. In fact, I'm going to have you read 1 through 6. It's a Christian heresy based on, it's a heresy. I won't say a Christian. That's wrong. It's a heresy among Christians based upon what this is not saying.
Okay. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen.
Ridge 6.
But that is not the word of God. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel.
This ties in exactly with what we're saying in that last verse. Not everybody who has joined the club is still a Christian. Well, mm-hmm. Yes, they are, because you can't, once saved, always saved. I'm sorry. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm saying here, he's saying it about even the religious people. The spiritual Israel has, when he says those who are not Israel, he says they are not all Israel who are of Israel. He's saying because they were born into a religion in Israel, they were the chosen race, they have walked away from it. So not everybody that is of Israel is true spiritual Israel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You see where he's not only taken that concept of Romans 8:38-39, he's now showing that this has always happened. This is not New Testament, Old Testament. You're either with God before Christ or after. And it is your decision to make. And just because you're part of the club, like all those who were born in Israel, they were Israelites by blood. They were all blood descendants of Abraham. But he says not all of those which are in Israel are of Israel, meaning spiritual Israel, because some have walked away. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it actually does.
Okay, now, let's explain why. Go to 9 and read 30 through 32. Here is why, folks, because they no longer believed in the righteousness of Christ by faith. They wanted to do it on their own. Do you see where Ravens of Hebrews 3:12, you walk away because of unbelief? You no longer hold on to the hope of the gospel in Colossians 1:23. Listen to what she's going to read. They walked away from Christ being the object of their faith to them being the object of the faith. They didn't try to attain righteousness by faith. They tried to do it on their own. And he's saying the same when he's talking in Romans 8:38-39, he's talking New Testament. But he's going back in 9:1-6. And he's saying the same thing happened to Israel in the Old Testament. Because there are people who say, oh, it's the Old Testament. That's we're in the New Testament. No. Following God and trusting in God for righteousness started with Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel, perfect example. Go ahead and read 30 and 32. And as you're reading this, Raven, get the connection between the modern believer brethren in Hebrews 3:12, who no longer believes. He falls out of union and fellowship with God. How? By unbelief. Unbelief in what? Unbelief in righteousness by faith in Christ. They now think they can do it. See what 30 through 32 says.
What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But
what
Israel,
he's saying, they have. Hold on. He's saying here,
yep.
The Gentiles that you call dogs, which they did, they were not searching for righteousness. They didn't do anything to make them righteous. But what had happened? They attained it. You see that? They
mm-hmm.
had attained
yeah.
righteousness. But they didn't attain righteousness by faith. You see, Raven, where your statement there in Colossians, if you keep your hope in the gospel, which is all faith in Christ, not your faith. Okay, go ahead with 11. But Israel, or 31,
Israel,
I apologize.
That's okay. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness.
This is amazing.
Why? Right.
Go ahead.
Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. This is Galatians 5, 1 through 4.
You're right. In other words, what he's telling them in Galatians 5, 1 through 4, don't go back there again.
Yep.
But this is showing Old Testament, New Testament. You cannot attain anything outside of your total faith in Christ, and that is the gospel. Colossians tells you you're secure, eternally secure, if you maintain your hope in the gospel. Colossians 1:23.
Yeah.
This is what blew the – this is why Christ was crucified, because he rammed it down their throat every day that you cannot attain righteousness by your effort. And when I fall into Hebrews 3:12 or Colossians 1:23, I'm not saying that I'm not trying to be righteous, but I'm trying to do it by my effort rather than faith in Christ.
Yes.
Read Romans 9:30 again. If it's not righteousness by faith, it is not righteousness. And these people were an example of it.
What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith.
That is it. And that is what you can lose. And you say, well, no, you can't. Oh, you know what? I'm not here trying to build a denomination because I ain't got one. I'm just saying, folks, don't be horn-sucked the way I was. Read the Bible. Please read the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Well, that wasn't always God's rule. Yes, it was. Read Ezekiel 3:20, please.
All right. 3:20.
It's always been God's rule. God doesn't change. On the day of the cross, he did not change his moral law.
Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand.
His righteousness, which he has done all his life, will not be remembered. There's no difference from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what is righteousness? It's the righteousness of faith. Take the word, the same word, in Ezekiel 3:20. The righteous man turns from his righteousness. Raven just read in Romans 9:30, it's the righteousness which is of faith. Do you see where we can fall out of that? You can fall out of that righteousness, and God will not remember it. When judgment day comes, and so if you die believing in your righteousness or anything else other than faith in Jesus Christ is the thing that's going to save your soul, which is the gospel of Colossians 1:23. Folks, you are on, I'm not going to say you're on thin ice. You've already gone through the ice. I just ask you, though, please, does this make sense? If it doesn't, I'm willing to spend the whole day on this.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to another verse. Confirm in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Read Ezekiel 18:24. It says the same thing, but people don't want to hear this because it contradicts their golden calf that told them it. No, it can't be.
But when a righteous man turns away from his and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them, he shall die.
Now, can you tie that in to Colossians 1:23? If your faith remains in the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is righteousness by faith, not by anything we do. I'm a little fearful here that I'm beating a point to being annoying, but folks, this is a major heresy in Christianity today. And people believe it. I'm telling you, for 12 years, I would have walked away from someone saying these things. Can't put a person in more danger than to tell them that they can do nothing that will separate them. They can. We've just read it. Are you there still, Raven?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Now let's go back and read verses 1 through 5. This is Paul trying to show these people, just because you are a member of the Jewish faith, you are the chosen race, you are the physical descendant of Abraham, it doesn't mean that in the eyes of God that by your faith you are an Israelite. In fact, he's saying you're not an Israelite. That's the same thing with Christianity. Because I've been immersed, which I have, because I have confessed my sins, I'll use a sinner's prayer, which is something you recite after someone else. Don't, you know, the sinner's prayer, folks, is great, but you have to, in your heart, get before the Holy Spirit and allow him to break you. He saying words after somebody else is not going to necessarily be the golden nugget. I'm not criticizing the prayer. It's well worded. But when we purport it to be that if you say this and then we all clap and we take the person out to lunch because they're now one of the club folks, make sure that we're not shortchanging them. I'm not criticizing the sinner's prayer. Every word in there is perfect. But lead the people to repentance because of their horrendous sin before you make them eat the, before they eat the icing on the cake, make them eat the cake. Before dessert, make them eat the Brussels sprouts and the broccoli and the asparagus.
Yeah, right. And empty words don't mean anything. You're leading them to a false sense of salvation.
That is possible. We're not saying it always happened. Don't hear what she didn't
right.
say. But the proclivity
right.
is there, folks. I see it with people. I've heard people say, I'm now a Christian. Folks, if that's all it took is reciting the sinner's prayer, then Jesus Christ has deceived us all when he says repent and believe the gospel.
I only say this, people, because it happened to me. This is why it's become such a...
Everything we're saying, I'm begging people, don't fall into the same stupidity that Carl. Let me be explicit, not subtle.
Yeah.
I have fallen from these traps, folks. I don't want you to do that. Please.
The reason that...
Even if you think
the reason that we are... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
The reason we get on the radio and we preach and we teach and we do these things and that we teach about certain things and that we are so passionate about the things that we talk about is, of course, number one, because the Holy Spirit puts it into us. But I firmly believe that we are led to teach and preach in the areas that God has allowed us to go through. You know, I mean, I was, as I said, you know, I went through this whole sinner's prayer thing and as Carl said, you know, there's nothing particularly wrong with the words of the sinner's prayer.
Number one,
the sinner's prayer is not in Scripture, okay? So I don't want anybody to think that it's a scriptural thing, okay? Now, that said, there's nothing wrong with those words in particular, but just make sure that you're not, that somebody isn't coming along and saying, okay, because this is what happened to me. Okay, do you believe in God? Well, yes, I believe in God. Do you believe that God raised Christ from the dead? Yes. Okay, do you believe he died for your sins? Yes. Okay, all you have to do is repeat after me, and then you'll go to heaven. Okay, repeat after me. Okay, I said the words. Okay, now you're saved, and you go to heaven. That is absolutely not scriptural. That is not scriptural. Okay, so if this happened to you, if this happened to you, I would beg you to search yourself and say, did I repent? Did I repent from my sins? And do I honestly believe in my heart that the reason that Christ came to earth was to die on the cross for me, for my sins, because that's the only way that I can go to heaven is through his blood sacrifice, for him to die and be resurrected 3 days later, because it is only through his death, burial, and resurrection that I can be saved, and that I must repent, because that is the only way that I can go to heaven. It is so important, people. It is so important. He must be your Savior, and he must be your Lord. You must give every single bit of you to him. I'm so passionate about this, people, because I was deceived. I was deceived for 12 years. 12 years. And then one day,
let me interject something, Raven. Let me interject something. You and I are singing out of the same hymnal. What is the thing that brought us out of deception? And just say you agree or not. We finally read the Bible and not depending on man's wisdom.
Yes, yes. Well, in my case, the Bible was preached to me one day, but it was suddenly a preacher came to a church I was at and actually read scripture. You know, he
but
read
that
the,
was the, thing that,
the actual
that's the thing that,
Bible.
Hold on. The point I'm making is you and I keep saying the same thing. Don't do what we did wrong. Well, what's the goal?
Yeah.
What's the Lone Ranger's silver bullet about not doing the same thing that was wrong? It is we sat down and depended on the Word of God rather than the Word of man.
After that was preached, I went home that day and I immersed myself in the word. I mean, and I got saved. But you know, and it's even been a journey since then into depending more and more upon the Holy Spirit. But I'm just begging you, if this happened to you, that it was like, you know, somebody asked you a few questions and you said yes, and they said, okay, repeat after me. Please, please, I'm just begging you to please look at yourself and say, am I truly saved? Did I really repent? Did I really accept Christ as my Savior? This is just one of my, the Lord has put this upon me. He has just put this upon me to just say to people, please, I'm begging you to look at yourself and say, do I really know Christ as my Lord and my Savior? Do I have the Holy Spirit residing in me? I'm sorry to kind of take that there, Christ or Carl, but it's just
no, right?
You know how
I'm remaining silent. I'm remaining silent. You and I have begging these people, not because we need more money in our collection box and trying to get them to come to our church. We're begging these people because we have made the mistake. We have nothing to gain here, folks. I heard a man say today that preaching the cross. No, he actually said, and I'll give him now. I'll say the man's name because I'm complimenting him. The man I heard say that this morning is a man from California, and I'm in the Midwest, and I just turned the radio on. And this man said, that if you preach the blood of Christ is the only way to salvation and repentance, and he said it, your collections are going to go down. And this is not Carl being sarcastic. This was a man named John Corson. And I got to tell
John,
you,
what?
I don't know much about the man, but he said that, not me.
What's his name?
Telling you, folks. John Corson, Corson, I believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he's right.
And he said
the blood of Christ.
This is a man in California. I'm saying here, but that's not the point. The point I'm making, Raven and I have no other value or no other hope in this world about doing this, what we're saying, other than telling you folks, don't walk down the path we've walked down. Please, if we could save you from this misery, because you are in misery.
Yeah.
You're never satisfied. Religion never has enough. Now, I come to Raven and I say, okay, Raven, you're saying that that's wrong. How do we know you're right? That's why we give you Bible verses. Don't believe we're right because we say it. If you believe I'm right because I say it, you're doing the same thing with me that I'm criticizing. Read the Bible.
Right.
Let the Holy Spirit convict you, folks. And Well, Carl, you just want us to believe you. I don't have any desire for anybody to believe me. I'm just saying, folks, this is about your soul. On Judgment Day, you aren't even going to know who I am. You don't know me now.
Right.
I want you to take this seriously because your eternal life ends on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to Romans 9.
All right.
And read the first verse in 1. This is how serious Paul is about this.
I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow.
No, stop
sorrow.
Right there. Just think. Hold on. Stop right there. 1. I'm saying the truth in Christ. I'm lying not. My conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. This is Paul. This is not a Yahoo in some part of the Great Lakes like Carl and Raven. This is the man that Christ taught the New Testament to for 3 years in the Arabian desert. This is how passionate about this problem he is. Go ahead with 2, 3, or 2, I'm sorry.
That I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart.
Continual. Well, Paul, you're exaggerating. Read 3. Listen to what he says in 3. This is impossible, but he's exaggerating the concern he's got.
I believe those that are listening, this is like how Carl and I feel when we preach this to you, because this is how badly we want to see
Good
people
point.
Come to Christ.
Raven,
we just
that
have
is
this
a, that
grief
is a,
in our
no, you've You're hitting my guitar strings of my heart right there. That's what exactly good. I never thought of that. That's exactly the way I feel. I have a heaviness. That's all I can say. You're right.
Yeah. It's this grief in our hearts that because we just want to see people come to Christ so badly. This is why we do this. This is the only reason. There are so many other things that we could be spending our time. I mean, it's not just like we suddenly get on here for an hour and a half every week. We prepare for this. We go to the Holy Spirit in prayer and in study. We could be doing so many other things, but we can't because we have this great sorrow and continual grief in our hearts.
And this is not something we've attained. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember where Raven started, 1 Corinthians 12:11? The Spirit gives.
Yeah.
Because you don't have this particular desire of evangelism to people or whatever, doesn't mean you're not born again, doesn't mean you're not a minister in the New Testament. This is just what he's given us. Go ahead. Good. I like your point on 2. I never thought of that.
For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
That's how much
Israelites. Pain
he's in. That's,
yes.
Hold on. That's how much pain he's in. He's even asking a theoretical impossibility. He wants to go to hell for them. That's how much it hurts. Do any of you have unsaved relatives close to you? And you know that they're, and I know Raven has a relative close to her. And she was in tears Tuesday night at a Bible study because of this very thing. I'm not saying she wants to go to hell for them. This is Paul showing you how intense this heaviness of the heart. When he says here, I wish I could be accursed from Christ, he's explaining verse 2, the great heaviness.
Yeah.
I'm sure that even if you're not an evangelist, if you're saved, there may be someone in your family that is on the way to hell, and you see no reason why that's wrong, and it's just killing you.
Yeah.
This is what Paul's saying here. He's not criticizing these people. Raven, your statement about verse 2 was perfect. That's exactly the way I feel.
Yes, and even talk about it, it's like that grief, that heaviness, the tears are welling up in my eyes because it brings it to mind so much closer.
Well, you know what? Think of the rich man and the beggar in Luke 16:19 through 31. The rich man opens his eyes in torment, in fire, begging for just a drop of water, and he's going to be there for all eternity. The only way he's going to get out of Hades and the burning side of Hades is when he stands before the Almighty God in Revelation, I believe it's 18, the great white throne judgment, and he's taken out of Hades and cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. If you think of a person that you know that might be there, you don't have to be an evangelist to be heavy.
Right. Yeah, it is heartbreaking. It is just, if you're a believer, and that does not just tear at your heart, that
you may not be
again, I would question. I would seriously say, question your salvation. That should seriously just rip at you to think of anyone, and certainly anyone that is close to you, that is not a believer. Think, because you are going to be standing there on Judgment Day watching these people go by. If you have not spoken to these people about Christ, this should make you want to run to them today, now. I don't care how you think that they might look at you and laugh at you. Who cares? This is their soul that is in danger. This is eternity. I mean, think to yourself of what it would feel like for you to take and put your finger to turn up your stove, whether it be electric or gas, who cares, to turn it up
Man,
to the
I can
highest
relate to this.
Setting. Yes, to turn it up to its very highest setting and set your finger on that stove for 30 seconds, just 30 seconds, and think that this friend, this relative, whoever it is that is closest to you that is not a Christian, okay, and to think that it's not going to be 30 seconds, it's going to be eternity. It's going to be eternity. So
Raven,
think about that.
Let me interrupt just a minute. Somebody in their mind is going to say, oh, it's not your job to judge whether they're saved. I agree. But it is your job to judge fruit. And if a person is showing that they, what harm are you going to do to talk to them? Because
I've had that thrown
up to me. The minute I say this, folks, oh, Carl, you're not to judge people. You're right. but I'm to judge fruit. Jesus says more about judging fruit than he says don't judge the people. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2, I think it's 15, he who is spiritual judges all things. If you get if you get an inclination that a person does not really walking in the spirit or walking in the true faith, you're not judging them. You don't have the ability to judge them. Nobody does. That's going to come by God alone. You have that feeling, folks. Don't hesitate, but don't go jumping on them. You ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? In fact, let's talk about Raven's specific situation for the next 3 minutes. Raven is dealing with a very close relative, a blood relative, and this individual, she didn't know what to do, and I've been listening to her cry and moan about this for a couple of weeks. And what did you do, Raven? Read James 1:5. It's this simple. Please.
Yeah. If any of you lacks wisdom, yes, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
And from her having a restraining order, if I can use that word, not to speak to the person, she is now, after praying for 3 to 4 weeks, God has made a way legally she can get to the, I'm saying, don't go just busting in. Don't go up and say to the person, you know you're going to hell. You know you're going to get, you won't need a dentist to straighten your teeth out because he may take some out of you. When you have this passion, where do you start? I don't know. You go to the Holy Spirit. I had a person ask me that today. They know my background. And they said, I've got an unbeliever, same background from you. What do I say to him? I said, I haven't got the vaguest idea. Pray. Give him the scripture. I don't know how. How can Carl give a formula?
Raven,
I wanted to focus on you in here because you are the perfect example of what Paul is feeling.
Carl, another miraculous thing has happened. You know about the relative that has been given, that God has made a way. And also, I have, let's just say God has given me a person in that institution where he's at.
Yep.
God has given
me
I did? Okay, that there's someone in there that is trying to be helpful.
Hold on. He's given it to you after you prayed.
Yes, exactly.
He's
given
it to you after James. Yep.
Yes. Yes, it's just wonderful. This can only be God working. It is impossible that any of these things that are happening because of anything I have done. It's just not possible.
Not only that, but you didn't come to Carl. You didn't come to Carl to get the formula. You prayed.
No. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, we're down to 60 seconds. I shipwrecked this thing because I wanted to bring up your situation because it is a very close relative, and it's other relatives who are impeding this, and Raven knew not where to go, restraining order, and yet she prayed, and guess what? Miraculously, it's been lifted. Okay,
yes,
Raven,
yes.
I wanted to get into your situation because that's exactly what Paul says in Romans 9:2. I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow. That describes you to a T. You've got 10 seconds.
Yes.
Say it. Thanksgiving for this because this was perfect. Not us.
Father, thank you.
What the scriptures say.
Father, thank you so much for showing us that the only way for anything to happen is if we allow you to do all of the work. It is none of
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
We love you and we thank you so much. In Christ's name. Amen.
Hey, Raven, thanks for letting me use you as an example because that's perfect.
Anytime.
Romans 9:2. Okay.
Anytime, pal. Yes. Bye-bye.
Take care.